Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
If you would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. If you need a Bible, the ushers will get one into your hand. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible at home, take it. It's our gift to you. Take it home. As long as you're going to read it, we want you to have it. Okay, Acts 19, verse 1 through 6. Power from on high is what I've entitled. And we are going to look at the question, verse 1 through 3, and the qualification, verse 4 through 6. Now, power from on high, this is going to be a very different service. You're here because God has a divine appointment for you. I pray right now that this is going to be challenging, but also it's going to be a call for each one of us to respond. So the power on high from Acts 19. Let me preface this with a verse from Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus said this, "Behold, I send the promise," notice it's promise, "of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, a couple of things I have to ask you. If Jesus said to his disciples, he told them to go to Jerusalem, but to wait there until they are endued with power on high. Jesus also said, listen, unless I go, unless I depart, the Holy Spirit can't come. And he said this, he said, it's a promise from God. Does God keep his word? Yeah. Right? Okay, does God keep his promises? Yeah. Okay, he does. And what is he promising? What did Jesus say that his Father promised? Power from on high. Now, our hearts should sing that song. I know we've sung it here before. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. That should be the cry of our heart. Now, notice in that song it says that I can't contain and can't control. Listen, when we have the Holy Spirit, we gain control of ourselves, but we never have control of him. He does what he wants. He takes control of us. And I love that song. And so that should be the cry of our heart. So now let's look at Acts 19, verse 1 through 6, power from on high. Let's look at the question in verse 1 through 3. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. A couple of things. Apollos, remember, he is most likely a taller, good-looking guy, very dynamic speaker. Some of the church were dividing. Some were saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, and I'm of Jesus. You know, they were all taking sides. And Paul said, hey, some water, some plant. Some plant, some water. And so here, as Paul comes to Ephesus, Apollos goes to Corinth. Paul had planted, now Apollos is going to go water. Here, Apollos had planted in Ephesus, and Paul is going to go water. So they kind of switch places. Now, Paul is on his third missionary journey right here, and he wanted to come to this region earlier, but God didn't let him. The Holy Spirit stopped him because God had a divine appointment. Now, let me remind you about this city, what's going on here. First of all, remember I've told you that Ephesus is a huge city. It's a port city. And it has the Temple of Diana, one of the wonders of the world at that time. They believed that Zeus had sent this fiery black rock from heaven. Evidently, most likely, it's a meteor of some type. And they find this black rock, this meteor, and they carve it out. They carve it into the image, a very lewd, crude, perverse image of Diana. And they built around this idol a large structure. It had 127 pillars. Each one of the pillars were 60 feet tall. Now, you imagine 127 pillars, 60, that's six stories tall. That's impressive, especially for this time. It was also a central bank for all of Asia Minor. It was the main bank. It was also an art museum. They had many art pieces there. I don't have time to describe them to you, but there's all kinds of art there. Now, here's the other thing. If you were a criminal, you could go to the Temple of Diana and seek asylum. It was a sanctuary. The authorities would not mess with you if you were in the temple. And of course, we also know that all the priestesses and priests there were all prostitutes. So what a mosh posh. You have the wealthy there, the very cultured with the art and all this stuff. And at the same time, you have the dregs of society. No doubt you'd have demon-possessed people there, witches, prostitutes, and criminals. Basically, California. And I'm joking. There are really amazing. There are some amazing churches in California. There really are some godly people there. I'm just joking. But this would be, for all intents and purposes, this would be a place that we would most likely avoid. And that's why we're here in Arizona. But notice, he came to Ephesus finding some disciples. Now, he's going to find some disciples. This word disciple, every time the term disciple is used in the New Testament, it refers to someone who is a believer. So keep that in mind. Hang that on your belt, because it's incredibly important that we establish that these are believers. Verse 2. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Unto John's baptism." Real quick, I have to tell you a couple of things. First of all, there in the Bible, there are two main types of baptisms. One is wet and one is dry. What I mean by that, there are those that are physical baptisms, and there are many. And then there are those that are spiritual baptisms, and there are multiple. But remember what the term baptism means. It means to be submerged, to be drenched. Interesting, because here he's talking spiritually, and he's talking dry, baptized by the Spirit, and they're talking about John's baptism, the baptism of water. So there's a misunderstanding here, but that's because they're not informed. Real quick, before I forget, because it's not in my notes, remember how the Bible says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit"? Well, do you realize that it's interesting, because if I'm drunk, and I pray I never am again, ever, but if I were drunk, in order to maintain being drunk, I have to continue to drink. The same is true about the Holy Spirit. In order to maintain being filled with the Spirit, I have to keep drinking in of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, knock, seek, and ask, and it's in the present imperative, means keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking for what? For the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at that today. But what did Paul see? Paul walks up to these believers, their disciples, and his question is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because, bros, I'm not seeing it. So what is it that he saw? We're not told. But evidently there was something that gave him the inclination that these guys had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Was it a lack of spiritual dynamic? A lack of agape love? A lack of love for spiritual things? Remember, they're in this horrible city. Maybe they were kind of into it. Maybe there was a lack of real joy. Maybe there was a lack of boldness and spiritual zeal. Maybe they showed a lack of faith in some of their statements. We're not told. But Paul asks a question because evidently he sees something. Would Paul ask that question of us? Did you receive the Spirit when you believe? Listen, here's a question that, and by the way, this is a very controversial piece of scripture. Why? Some teach that when you get saved, you receive all of the Holy Spirit. And some say, no, according to this, you may receive the Spirit, but then there's this additional, this is a second touch, is what they call it. It's baptism. Well, we're kind of in the middle. I believe you received the Holy Spirit and all of it. I just think what we tend to do is we tend to quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. And so there are moments in time when I actually open myself up to allow the Holy Spirit to take full control. See, if receiving the fullness of the Spirit was automatic with believing faith, Paul should just ask, hey, are you guys real believers? But he didn't ask that. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, I tend to see in Christendom this kind of numb Christianity. We talked about that a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. It's all a blur. But do you know the word enthusiasm? It's a compound word. In means in, it's a Greek word and it's a Latin word. But in means to be in. Thusia means theos, like God. In God. Means to be possessed by God. So the word enthusiasm means to be possessed by God. This word comes about because Christians seem to have this zeal, enthusiasm, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Some Christians are doctrine police. They're quick to correct you on doctrine and lacking joy. Listen, what good is it? You know, one of the things that I've learned over time is I don't have to correct every little thing. People come to me and they tell me something and I'll just look at it, oh, that's interesting. And sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, depends on how mature they are, but I don't have to walk around like that. Some people, their Christianity is so serious. It's like, ooh, serious matter. I'm sorry, God had an incredible sense of humor. He made me a pastor. Some people, their Christianity, some people, their ministry is so serious. It's like, whoa, man, a little too intense. Where's the joy and the love? This is the point. You should know when you received the Holy Spirit. Listen, right, isn't God the most powerful thing in all the universe? Would you agree? Okay. If I know, if I ever get shot, you wouldn't have to say, Randy, are you shot? Well, I don't know. I think so. No, if you get shot, you're like, well, that was pretty powerful. God is more powerful than that. Yet, I can go up to someone and say, hey, have you been baptized in the Spirit? Oh, I think so. Then maybe you're not. Maybe you're religious. Maybe you're saved, but you're quenching, grieving the Holy Spirit. Here's a little earmark. You want an earmark? How, Pastor Randy? Yes. How will I know? I mean, is there some kind of way of telling? Well, yeah, sure. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Gives us a little clue. Jesus speaking. Telling them about the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon them in Acts chapter 2. So he talks in Acts chapter 1. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what's going to happen? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, your mouth is going to blow open with praise. But here's the other thing. When he's telling them that, they're already believers. When someone go, yeah, but he's there. He has to ascend into heaven. And he even says that, I must go so that the Holy Spirit can come. In Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, we know that the Holy Spirit comes upon all the people. They're already believers and they become filled. And then they speak with boldness. They speak in tongues, audible tongues that are understood in other languages. So there is interpretation. And it's and by the way, it's all speaking the praises of God. Then in Acts 8, we have baptized believers in Samaria, and miracles are happening, right? Yet, not until the disciples come and lay hands on are they filled with the Spirit. Interesting. So there's this additional move of God's Spirit in one's life. Do you receive all of the Holy Spirit at salvation? Absolutely. You become a new creature in Christ. But then there's this power, unimaginable, powerful move of God's Spirit within our lives. And that's why Jesus says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep doing. When was the last time you sought for a fresh outpouring, a fresh infilling of God's Spirit? Nay, when was the last time you felt and you responded and reacted? Acts chapter 9, verse 10 and 12. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he says, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias. He saw you, him know you. You've never met him, but he's going to know who you are, and you're going to know who he is. Coming in and putting hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Okay, jump down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul is already a believer. He's praying to God. He saw God. He met Jesus. Jesus has already ascended. But here comes this power. And he received, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. Paul is already a believer. So he has this move of his Spirit. He's baptized in the Holy Spirit. He receives the baptism, and now he goes out and gets physically baptized. We'll talk about that in more detail. But see, here's the point. Something powerful happens to him. In some situations, it was funny, we had a short deacon's meeting, and guy brought out the point that this one time we prayed for this gal and this young child, and the child went and had an appointment. When they went to the appointment, the doctor said, there's nothing here. And it was on a day of Pentecost, I believe, that we did this prayer. Now, sometimes he brings healing. Sometimes he'll bring forgiveness. Sometimes he'll bring a speaking in tongue. Sometimes a prophesy, and we'll talk about that in detail. But always, power and a boldness follows. Listen, the Holy Spirit's not timid. The Holy Spirit, I'm the Holy Spirit. Timid. The Holy Spirit's not timid. You get filled with God's Spirit, any timidity that you have is gone. But then what happens is it wears off and you have to get refilled. Because we leak. We're leaky. Verse 3. And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." The apostles and the brethren were in Judea. They heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And in Acts 11:15, they hear that the Gentiles have received they're going to get a report from Peter about the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit. And here's what he says in Acts 11:15. "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us in the beginnings." And he's talking about way back in Acts chapter 2. Remember how the Holy Spirit came upon us? It did the same thing for the Gentiles. So it's not just a Jewish thing. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" He's like, remember, Jesus told us that John the Baptist baptized with water, but he, Jesus, would baptize us with the Holy Spirit. So one's wet and one's dry. As I said, there's the baptism of repentance in the Bible, the baptism of Moses, baptism of fire, baptism of suffering, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of baptisms in the scriptures. Some are wet, some are dry. The wet ones are spiritual, the dry ones are ceremonial. But notice he says, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Unto John's baptism." There should be, hear me in this, because this question came up just this last week. There should be an awareness of baptism. In other words, you know when you were baptized, you know why you were baptized, and you were first spiritually baptized. In other words, you get saved first. And once you're saved, the response then is to be baptized. That's why we don't baptize babies. Ask a baby, "To what baptism were you baptized?" "A wet baptism." "I don't know. I was a baby. I wasn't there." Listen, we don't baptize because the scripture does not speak of that. And it speaks replete that you are to be aware of what you're doing and you're to be saved first. Baptism doesn't save you. And when you are baptized in the Spirit, what that is, it's power from on high. It's power of God coming and residing upon you and in you and equipping you to then do the work of the ministry. So let's look at the qualification in verse 4 through 6. "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ.'" See, John's baptism was a preparation. John's message pointed to Jesus, but it didn't take him to Jesus. It only pointed to Jesus. So Christian baptism is not preparation, but celebration. We're celebrating what? That you're saved. That you received Jesus. A reenactment, if you will. So someone goes, "Well, we will hold the phone, Pastor Randy. Ephesians 4, verse 5 and 6 says this: 'One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all.'" I like the Texas slang there. They go, "Well, what about that? It's one baptism." No, you got to understand. that baptism there is both wet and dry.
What do you mean?
Well, it does speak of one baptism. It's speaking that you get baptized wet. But what it's really talking about is being baptized into the family of God. Becoming a member of God, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit that will dwell in you. Now, here's the thing. If you have God's Spirit in you, there should be some enthusiasm. Why is it that men, we can be so enthusiastic talking about the game, talking about guns, talking about the fish, but then we come to Jesus like, oh, no, I'll talk God or politics with my friends. Really? Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the boldness? Ladies, I'm not letting you off the hook. Y'all talk about cooking and Gucci bags, grandchildren, vacation, and what slobs your husband are. Because all they do is talk about guns. But you speak about that with enthusiasm. How to correct children. Oh man, you can go and tell your daughters, or your sons that are raising children, oh, that's not how you raise them, but you won't tell them about Jesus. We should have enthusiasm. And filled with God, a zeal, equipped by the Holy Spirit. Power from on high. Verse 5. So he says, hey, what baptism are we baptized by? He says, hey, you know what Jesus did? Jesus told us about John the Baptist. That his baptism was only pointing the way to Jesus. But Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. They're like, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. He goes, oh, there's a Holy Spirit. They go, bring it on. Bring it. I want it. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, a couple of things. Another question that came up this week. Excuse me, Pastor, to what do you baptize people? I go, what? Huh? Yeah, do you baptize them in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Spirit or in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? I said, yes. I do all. Well, Jesus said in the Great Commission, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said, yes. But then others will say, no, no, no. You come over here to Acts, and it says, Paul says that Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus. You just baptize in the name of Jesus. That's all you need to do. I think you can baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit. They're all God. It is Jesus who paved the way for us to be baptized, so I like to include him by name. I heard one pastor say, hey, you know what? I baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. That way I cover it all. Doesn't matter. What matters is, are they saved before they are baptized? By the way, we're going to have a baptism sign up in the next week. Preparing for our epic Sunday. Last year we baptized around 50 people. If you want to be baptized, after you listen to the rest of this message, maybe you'll decide, you know, I don't really know unto what I was baptized or who I was baptized or why I was baptized. You can be baptized if you know. Now, if you already know, then great. Some people go, you know, I was baptized before, but I just want to recommit. It's like renewing your vows. You can do that too, but it really, really is important. If you never knew why you were baptized, you were baptized as a baby, and you're now saved, and you're now walking with the Lord, it's important that you are baptized knowing what you're doing. A celebration. Now, here's what we should all consider. Please consider this. If someone were to look at your life, look at my life, would they notice a conspicuous presence of the person, of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? It's like if you were shot, everyone would know he got a hole in him. They're a big hole. Got boo-boo. Yet for some people, you'd never know they were Christians if they didn't say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, or you didn't see their keychain. What is that? Everyone should see the Holy Spirit. There's an enthusiasm when God is in you. There's a joy, a peace. Would Paul walk up to you and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I think I did. Listen, if I asked you, did you receive the Holy Spirit? I believe, I think I did. No. Listen, it's like saying, I don't know if I was shot. Why can I come up to you and ask you, are you an American citizen? You go, yes, I'm an American citizen. No hesitation at all. I remember one time driving through California a long time ago, and they had one of these immigration stops. I had gone to Tijuana to party, BC days. It's cheap to party there. So my friends and I had gone, and coming back, you know, we're on the way passing San Diego, and they had an immigration stop. And the guy walks up to the window. He goes, are you an American citizen? I'm like, are you an American citizen? But you know, right? Are you human? If I said, are you human? You would go, yeah, I think so. No, you'd know. Are you male or female? Well, that's kind of a little bit more difficult nowadays. But you get the idea. Everyone here can answer that very quickly. Right? No hesitation. We can all answer those questions. Why is there reservation if I were to ask you if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Maybe you haven't. And my thought is, why not? Why would you not want the full experience of God? Why are you quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit? He wants to use you. He wants to move in you. That is why you're saved. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you. That I can't contain. You think I could? You and I combined can contain God inside of us? If I have God inside me, he doesn't fit. He's going to burst out, even in this large frame. He's larger than we are. He's more powerful than we are. So if I have his spirit, if you have it, you can't contain that. There's an enthusiasm when you have God in you. Now, real quick, and I mean really quick, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, real quick, I want you to understand that this speaking in tongues and prophesying, yes, they spoke in tongues, but I guarantee there was an interpretation, and I guarantee that interpretation said the wonderful works of God, and only the wonderful, no rebuke, we need to repent, we need to, you know, get right, there's sin in the camp. No, that's not. This or that. No, tongues are always proclaiming the mighty works of God. Now, do I believe in the gift of tongues? Absolutely. Do I have the gift of tongues? No. But here they spoke with tongues. This was so that they would know. They hadn't even heard. And by the way, remember where they are. They're in this really bad city. So God had to move this powerful movement so that people would know this was genuine. This was actual. And then what else did they do? They prophesied. Now, real quick, there are two. If you're new here, if you've been here a while, you know that I've explained this. Prophesy, there's two meanings to the word prophesy. There's to foretell and foretell. Foretell is what I'm doing every Sunday. I'm just giving you forth the word of God. I'm prophesying. I'm not telling the future. I'm just foretelling. Forthtelling. Just speaking forth the word of God. That's prophesy. That's the same term. Prophesy can also mean to tell the future. Now, real careful, because there are a lot of people who want to prophesy in the church. Here's the problem. In the Old Testament, if someone prophesied and it didn't come true, you'd stone that person to death. So trust me, someone was really reserved about whether or not they say, thus saith the Lord. But nowadays, it thus saith the Lord. Maybe not, I guess. We have to be real careful that if we say God said, that it better come true. And if it doesn't, you're to be quiet and never be listened to again. Yet some of these TV evangelists will prophesy and it doesn't come to pass and they just keep on doing it and people keep on buying into it. Don't. John 7. Watch this. John 7, verse 37 through 39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, listen to this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, here you go, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So here's the demarcation. Out of the person who receives the infilling of God's Spirit, out of them flows rivers of living water. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If out of your mouth comes anger and profanity, then you're not filled with God's Spirit. Because if you're filled with his Spirit, out of you comes torrents, gushing, Niagara Falls of living water. And if I'm gushing living water, it's bringing other people to life. Here's what Guzik says. He says this, God always wants us to go deeper. We tend to sip when we could drink deeply. We tend to drink deeply when we could wade in the Spirit. We tend to wade when we could plunge in and swim. Most of us need to encourage to go deeper and further into the things of the Holy Spirit. That is my goal. That is our goal here at HBC today. My goal and my heart is to look at you and say, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Does your life show evidence of the power of the Spirit? Is there a torrent of living water flowing from you, from your life? Paul wants his disciples to be filled and empowered. He wants them to experience the fullness of God. He wants that for them and for us, and so do I. I want that for me. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said the same thing. He says, when you got that water in you, it springs up to a fountain of everlasting life. Why? So other people can drink and find everlasting life. A Christian heart should be the home of the Holy Spirit. Unless we have within us that which is above us, we'll succumb to those things that are around us. Listen, Jesus told his disciples, I have to depart so that Spirit can be imparted. Well, he departed and he made a promise to fulfill God's promise. And here's the thing, where the Holy Spirit is at work, there's always a want. Do you know that? When you have the Holy Spirit, there's always a want. There is? Oh, yeah. I want more holiness because he's in me. I want more grace. I want more forgiveness. I want more boldness. Why? Because it's what God, he creates in us, this want for more of him. It's like I'm not going to say that. So here's what we're going to do, folks. I'm finishing early. If I could have deacons forward, please. I posed a question to you. I said, do you have the Holy Spirit active in your life? Would other people look at you and know that the Holy Spirit is moving in your life? Do you know the day that you received the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Are you actively exhibiting signs of the Holy Spirit? Well, here's what I want to do. You see here in the scripture over and over again what they do. They prayed for and they laid hands on. So I have a team. James, you're supposed to be over here, my brother. Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. We don't have the map. We're going to stand right down there. Yeah. So what we're going to do is there's four groups of deacons here. None of us have more power than the others. Don't go, ooh, that guy looks powerful. No. It's the same. It's the same prayer. It's really your faith that's going to make a difference. So what we're going to do is we're going to put on a little bit of soft music, and we're going to, look, don't just, here we go. Don't just come up out of a ritual while everyone's looking and I guess I need to go up. No, don't do that. What I want you to do, I want you to sit there. I want you to confess the sins. I want you to confess the things that you've been clinging on to. And then I want you to come forward and ask for prayer, and we'll pray for you, and we'll lay hands on you, and we'll ask for the Holy Spirit to empower you. If you want that, please come forward. Now, if you don't want it, can you please pray that I get your portion? Because I want it. Okay, so if you don't want it, just pray, God, give me, I don't want it, give it to Pastor Randy. I'll take it. I want more. I want more of God. I want so much I can't contain and I can't control. I want that enthusiasm. I want that joy. I want that zeal. I want that power. I want that boldness. So confess your sins there at your seat. And when you're ready, if you want to come forward, if you want to just leave, you're free to leave. The service is over, but our prayer begins. The real ministering begins right now. Let me pray. Father, I just pray that those who want prayer will come forward. Those who want more of you will come forward. And Lord, if there's someone in this group that have never surrendered their heart to you, that they would come forward and confess you for the very first time. That would be so awesome. But that all of us, Lord, would confess our sins, and that we'd only come up if we mean it. No ritual here, no religious act, no, so look, everyone's looking at me. No, this is between you and God, and make it real. Mocking God is never good. Father, I pray that each one of our hearts, that we'd search our heart and ask and seek if we are truly operating in the Spirit. Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.